Welcome to the sermon podcast of Coosada Baptist Church. We want to be a lighthouse to guide you on your journey through life. Listen as our pastor, Dr. Jim Graham, shares a message from God's Word and offers sound biblical direction for your daily life.
As I mentioned, we have been walking through the book of Ephesians together, our theme being made new, from blessing to battle. We've been choosing a word every week. We've been talking about how we are blessed in the Lord, how we've been saved by grace, access. We have access to God. We use the word filled. We are filled with His power and equipped for our life together. Today, we're going to choose a word that makes many people uncomfortable. Our word is submit. Submit. And for some, that word brings to mind unhealthy power dynamics, abuse, forced obedience. But Paul uses this word very differently, and I want us to look at it. The heart of this passage is not power, it's not control. It's love, respect, and mutual oneness in Christ. Paul begins with a verse that frames everything else that we're going to talk about today. It's Ephesians 5:21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Before he ever talks to husbands and wives, which he's going to, and parents and children, and masters and servants, he roots all the relationships in Christ-centered, mutual submission. And I know how it is. It's easy for things to get, you know, turned sideways, and we have to think about each other and what each other's desires are and what they want. Nathan and Jenna reached out to us and said, hey, we're going to this little marriage thing, and could y'all keep Rose Friday and Saturday? And we're like, yeah, we're down for that. That sounds great to us. And then Perlene said, hey, let's talk about this weekend. And I said, what do you have in mind? Because she got something in mind, you know. And she said, well, what do you have planned? I said, oh, I can tell you what I have planned. It's the first Saturday of college football. There's a game I want to watch at 11. There's a game I want to watch at 2:30. There's a game I want to watch at 6:30. And yes, those are back to back to back. And she goes, well, I'm not talking about Saturday. I'm talking about Sunday and Monday. I said, I was planning on doing my favorite thing on Monday. More favorite than college football? Yes, my favorite thing. She said, what is that? That's nothing. She says, well, what I was thinking is maybe we talk to them instead of bringing Rose back on Saturday, we keep Rose until Sunday. I said, that sounds good so far. And she goes, and then we go up Sunday and we spend the night, and on Monday we help them finish laying their tile floor in the kitchen. It is, after all, called Labor Day. Well, that's not exactly what I had in mind for my Monday. But isn't that the way that a lot of conversations go? What do you have in mind? What do I have in mind? What are your plans? What are my plans? And in the midst of that, can we come up with our plans? And how that's all going to work together for the benefit of both of us. Not one or the other, but both of us. What works good? And sometimes, you know, I'm giving up something that I would rather do, and sometimes she's giving up something that she would rather do, and that's called mutual submission. And it's an example of what Christ intended. You see, Christ submitted himself to the will of God. It's not a dirty word. It's not an ugly word. He submitted himself to the will of the Father. He said, do you remember this conversation you had with God? God, is there any other way than being tortured to death on the cross? Is there any other way to do this project you have of reconciling yourself to mankind? Is there any other way? God said, no, this is the way. And Jesus' response was, not my will, but yours. I'm submitting to the way you want to do it. And get this, and I'm going to do it not just in submission to your will, but I'm going to do it for people who do not deserve it. This is not the case of like, oh, you know, I'm gonna do it for these great and wonderful. I'm gonna make it. I just, it's an honor to do it for you. No, in our worst, who would? Who would? But he did. And in that context, where he's talking about submitting to the will of the Father for our behalf, he says, look, in the same way, I'm trying to be Christ-like. I've decided to follow Jesus Christ. That's what I've done with my life. And he says, okay, well, one of the key words that Christ demonstrated is submission. And so he says, what I would like you to do, especially in this husband-wife relationship, is mutually submit. Submission's not an act of weakness. Sometimes we get that in our mind. It's an act of weakness. I'm weakening myself under someone else. Like, no, it's choosing to place another person's needs above our own. It's choosing to place another person's needs ahead of our own. Which means I am opening myself up to vulnerability. I'm opening myself up to being hurt, to being harmed, to being taken advantage of. I am. There's no other way around it. Now, the great news is that increases intimacy when I make myself vulnerable. But I am making myself vulnerable to another person. If I submit, then I am allowing them to have some measure of control or say-so over me. I'm deferring what I want to what you want. I'm most concerned with your needs. So that puts me in a tough position. Well, see, unfortunately, what many of us do, we're worried about that. So we hold on to it. I want to have control of me. I want to make sure I'm defending myself and have my rights, my power. And look, I get it. In an abusive relationship, in a relationship that's not good at all, that can be problematic. He's talking about a husband and a wife in the context of Christ, in a mutually submissive relationship. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. It means that in Christ, no person is above the other person in worth. We all bow before Jesus together. So Paul isn't calling us to lose ourselves. He's calling us to find ourselves in oneness. So I want to make sure you understand the overarching theme to this is mutual submission. We're submitting to one another. Now, what he goes on to describe is that we're going to do that, though, in different ways. He says there's more. There is a difference in a man and a woman, and it's not just the XX and the XY chromosome that makes you physically different. He says there are some actual heart differences between a man and a woman. And he says, because of that, I'm going to call you to do this in a different way. As you mutually submit to one another, he tells the wives, he says, your key word is respect. And he tells the man, your key word is love. He tells wives, he talks about submitting to the husband. For husbands, he says, I'm talking about loving your wife, like Christ loves his wife. And at the end of this passage, let's fast forward to verse 33. In the end of this passage, he puts the parentheses on this. He starts with mutually submitting, and in the verse 33, the parentheses. So again, I say, each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. So our words are really not just submission. The real words are love and respect. So is that unfair? Is it unfair for the Lord to say, I want you to mutually submit, but now I'm going to describe your calling in submitting differently? Husbands, your calling is to love. Wives, your calling is to respect. Why does he do that? Well, let's look at some statistics. I think it's because the creator of heaven and earth, the creator of men and women, knows that we're different. So he calls us in mutually submitting to do different things. Shanti Feldhine asked a random sample of American males this difficult question. Now, it's not a good answer either way, but she said, you've got to choose between one of two things. Would you rather be left alone and unloved in the world, or Would you rather be viewed as inadequate and disrespected by everyone? You have the choices. Let me let you hear them again. Would you rather be left alone in the world and unloved? Left alone and unloved in the world, or would you rather be viewed as inadequate and disrespected by everyone? Almost 80% of the men said, given that choice, I would rather be left alone and unloved in the world. I do not want to feel inadequate and disrespected. So here are men saying, my biggest situation is I don't want to feel disrespected. Well, here's scripture saying, hey, ladies, what he really needs is respect. Dr. Emerson Eggerich asked 7,000 people, he asked them this question. When you're in a conflict with your spouse, do you feel unloved or disrespected? You're in a conflict with your spouse, you're having an argument, y'all are going at it, do you feel unloved or disrespected? 72% of the women said, I feel unloved. 83% of the men said, I feel disrespected. So the overwhelming majority, it's not 50-50. It's not, now we both need love and respect. I need love and respect. My wife needs love and respect. But what these statistics are showing is that men tend to more value respect, or I might say it this way, they are more likely to feel disrespected in an argument, in a conflict, than they are to feel unloved. And women are more likely to feel unloved in a conflict, and they most desire to feel loved. And so here he is in Scripture saying, I want you to mutually submit to one another. And as the Creator, I'm aware of something. I'm aware that love and respect are the key words. And I'm aware, ladies, what he really needs is to feel respected. And he's more likely to feel disrespected. So he really needs respect. And ladies and men, I want you to know she's more likely to feel unloved. So I need you to know that she needs to feel love. Not just to be loved, fellas. She needs to feel love. I love her. Yeah, okay. But does she feel loved by you? So marriage thrives when both are present. No doubt. But it seems that one has more need for love and one has more need for respect. And both need Christ at the center. This isn't a tug of war. It's not a tug of war. It's a dance of mutual submission reflecting Christ and the church. It's so easy for things to get bent. So easy for things to escalate. That's the real problem, is escalation. The cycle begins. So Dr. Eggerich described it like this. He said, imagine you're deep sea diving. You're underwater and you got one of those outfits on and you got the hose that goes up, up on the boat. And it's up there on the boat and you're dependent on that oxygen. And you kind of get into an argument with your spouse. It's like your spouse going like, I think I'll just step on that hose. Cut that off. And so it's like that person feels like, oh, you're stepping on my hose. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to step on your hose. And it's a cycle. Because here's what's happened. When a person feels, it doesn't matter which way I start. I'll start with the man. If I feel disrespected, what I'm most likely to do is react in a way that feels to her as what? Unloving. So now she feels unloved, so she's going to react to that in a way that seems what? Disrespectful to him. And then he feels disrespected, and he's going to react in a way that is unloving. And boy, we're in the crazy cycle. And it is ramping up, and it goes back and forth. And it can happen like that. It is so easy to do. We had a situation, could have gotten out of hand. Let me describe it to you. So Friday, I had a test, medical test, early Friday morning, and my sugar had to be just right. So I had to eat a specific way on Thursday so that my sugar would be right on Friday. So no fried foods, no sugar, Nothing like that. What a boring, horrible, yeah, whatever. All right. And then nothing after midnight, you know, that kind of thing. And so I told her, I said, here's what you could eat for lunch and dinner, you know, all that kind of stuff. So she's like, well, I'm going to buy some stuff so that we can, you know, so I can feed you right. You know, married men live longer than single men, and they live longer because there's a woman going, no, you are going to the doctor, right? And so she's going to take care of me, make sure everything's right. So I got up, ate breakfast. What I usually eat for breakfast, banana, maybe some peanut butter. All right, well, that's off the menu. So I ate boiled egg, you know. And then, so later on, I'm hungry. I get hungry. So I texted her, and I said something about an early lunch. Now, what I thought I was telling her is that it's not going to be 12 when I get home. I'm going to take an early lunch. I'm already hungry. I'm going to come a little early. Because I think she's got something that I'm going to eat that's going to fit on that menu. She thought I was saying, hey, I now have an early lunch meeting with someone else. Like, I got to go out, and sometimes I have lunch meetings with people. So, like, I'm going to have a lunch meeting. So now it's like 11:15, and I send her another message of like, okay, it's lunch. I'm about to head to the house. Like, I'm giving her a heads up. And she went, what? I thought you had a meeting. I said, I don't have a meeting. I thought you were fixing me lunch. She's like, I'm out with my best girlfriend, you know, and we're out to lunch. And I was like, oh. And then she's like, I'm sorry. Maybe you could meet us. I said, are y'all already there? They're over in Wetumpka somewhere. I'm like, I can't get there. I said, I'm not doing that. Like, I'll just get something. Don't worry about it. It's fine. So now I'm thinking, like, what can I eat? No bread, no fried. Like, where do you eat that? Well, there's a meal that I love, and we do this all the time. I decided, oh, this will work. I'll go to Winn-Dixie. I'll go back to the seafood section. I'll get one of those steam bags, and you can get a piece of fish and some vegetables, and they put them in this steam bag with some little flavoring, and you just put it in the microwave. You steam it. I said, that's perfect. It's salmon. I'll just get salmon and vegetables. Can't beat that. Fits the menu perfect. I got it, took it home, heated that in the microwave, sat down, ate my lunch. It's winding up. Pearline again goes, look, I'm so sorry. I thought you meant. I said, it's not problems, no worries. What'd you do? I said, I had salmon and vegetables. She said, oh. I said, what's that? Well, what I had planned to fix you for dinner was salmon and vegetables. And I said, oh. Now, is that kind of stuff not what happens in your life? Like, one little misinterpretation of early lunch, you know, whatever, and we misunderstood, and now, you know, and that is the exact kind of situation that can get flummoxed out of control. It didn't for us, it was fine, everything was good. But you could easily feel unloved or disrespected. She doesn't care. She's out with her buddy. She's supposed to be fixing me a meal. I'm supposed to, you know, I got this test. She doesn't care. You know, you can get, your mind can start going. And then you can say something, right? You just say that one thing. And then they feel like, oh, he doesn't, you know. He goes and does all these things, and I go to lunch one time. She never goes to lunch with people. He was like, she goes to lunch one time with somebody, and it's the one time, right? That's what we find ourselves in. So how do we treat each other? Do we really care about the other person? Mind you, let me go backwards. When she asked me, what are your plans this weekend, I laid out for her. Let me tell you my plans for Saturday. I'm going to go do this at 9 o'clock, then I'm going to come home and take a shower, and I'm going to sit down, and I'm going to watch ball game, bed. Like, that's my plans. And she didn't bat an eye. And like, oh, well, I thought you were going to help me with this, or I thought you were, or why, you know what I'm saying? She's like, oh, that sounds wonderful. I hope you have a great time. I want you to do. And then she's going, why don't we go do this? Now, I think something's wrong with her. Her idea of a great time is going and helping my son put his tile floor in the kitchen. That's something's wrong with her. But I'm going to do it. Like, I'm going to go on. Like, doesn't it sound like sitting and watching ball games? It's more kind of, anyway, that's another thing. You know, but we love and respect. I care more about what the other person wants, and I care very much that she does not feel unloved. And she cares very much that I do not feel inadequate, disrespected. And all this involves in how we talk to each other, how we correct each other, how we deal with things. It's not a tug of war for control. It's a dance of mutual submission. Now, he takes this and says, let's apply it to some relationships that aren't mutual, but they're subservient. And he does children and parents and servants and masters. That is not an equal footing relationship. But he says, even in those, I'm holding both parties accountable to submit to the Lord. So we like, the parents like to quote, you know, Ephesians 6. He starts out with, children, obey your parents. You belong to the Lord. This is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment. Like, obey your parents. Ephesians 6, 1. Y'all memorize that. We're teaching it to them in the back, you know. I don't know if we want them to also memorize verse 4, which says, oh, and by the way, fathers, parents, if you will, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Now see, this is not an equal relationship, because I'm just going to tell you, children are not at all worried about whether you feel loved or respected. They're not worried about that. I'll prove it to you. We had Rose this weekend. She was here in the last service. And we had her this weekend. Let me tell you what she did to me. Let me tell you what this one-year-old child did to me. I'm sitting there with Pearline. Pearline hands her to me and says, I'm going to go in here and stick something in the oven or something. I don't remember what it was. She said, I'm going to go in here. And Rose, she can't speak yet. Like, she doesn't have words yet. But let me express to you what she expressed in that moment. She said, hey, what do y'all think y'all are doing? I don't want you. I want her. And she pitched a fit and said, why are you leaving me with him at this moment? I want her. Like, and I just want to tell you, she didn't care for one instance whether that hurt my feelings or not. She did not care. She just wanted to express to me that, look, y'all are making a mistake. This is not what I want at this moment. I want her, not you. Okay? So, you know, that's the way kids are. They don't care. They're not worried about your feelings. You think they care about whether they respect you, feel respected, you know, when a 12-year-old rolls their eyes at you? No, they're just trying to let you know how they feel. They're concerned about their own well-being. They're not concerned about yours. They'll start being concerned about yours when they're 30, okay? But before that, you know, whatever. But he sits there and goes, even though this is not a mutual relationship, this is a subservient relationship, there is still something in submitting to the Lord. Guess what you're going to do? You're going to submit to each other. So, children, what does that look like for you? Looks like obedience to your parents, even if they're wrong. Even if they're wrong, that's what it looks like. Parents, what does it look like for you? It looks like you sacrifice for them. But, and of course you're going to sacrifice for them. Pearline comes to me this morning. My routine every single morning is I put headphones on and I listen to sermons. Every single morning. I do that every day. Right? While I'm eating my banana, you know. And I'm sitting there listening to, and Pearline comes and taps me on the shoulder this morning. And I took my headphones off. She goes, hey, do you mind listening out for her? She was asleep. Do you mind listening out for her while I jump in the shower real quick? You know? You think in that moment I said, no, she can just deal with it. This is my routine. She's messing it up. Or did I just take my headphones off and say, I'm going to listen out for her. No problem. Jump in the shower. Right? You know, am I sitting there on the timer? Because she said for about 10 minutes while I get in the shower. Also, I wasn't sitting there going like, it's 11 minutes. She said 10, you know. How do we treat one another? Okay, of course you do that for your kid. But what about this? What about when we express anger or frustration, whatever, because it's going to happen. I love the fact that he says, one of the translations says, don't exasperate your children. Well, they exasperate you. But like, are you going to be able to go like, I'm not going to react based on I'm angry or I'm frustrated or my insecurities or my weaknesses. I'm going to react based on what is best for them. Like, what am I trying to accomplish in their lives? Discipline without love produces rebellion. Discipline with love produces life. Parents and children. Then he goes into slaves and masters. And everybody struggles with this passage because, you know, you want to say, well, why didn't Paul just call for an end of slavery right here? Why didn't he just call for a social revolution and let's end slavery? I can't answer that question. Obviously, it's a system that we rightly reject. But in the Roman Empire in that time, up to 20% of the population was enslaved. And so he said, let me address them in their relationship to one another and how that looks like if we're submitted to Christ. And so he says to the slaves, he says, obey your earthly masters with deep respect and fear. Serve them like you would serve Christ. Try to please them all the time, not just when they're watching you. And so we've always taken this passage to say, even in my job, even though I'm not a slave in my job, but I'm serving someone who's superior or you know, supervisory over me, or the corporate whatever, you know, you have people who are watching you and over you. And he says the Lord will reward you. And he says the Lord will reward you when you do good, whether your slaves are free. And then he says, masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Don't threaten them. Remember, you both have the same master in heaven, and he has no favorites. So Paul doesn't call for end of slavery, but he dignifies those without power by addressing them directly. That was kind of avant-garde for the time to address slaves. And then he plants a gospel seed that undermines slavery at its roots. He tells masters and slaves, you share the same Lord. And in Christ, there is neither slave nor free. He will write that phrase to the Galatians. And he says, that's radical, right? Put slaves and masters on equal footing before God. Unheard of in Roman culture. But he says, this is the way you're to treat other people. You're to consider how the other person feels. You're to consider how my master feels. You're to consider how your servant feels. You're to consider how your child feels. You're to consider how your wife or your husband feels. Are you submitting to one another? And it's all under the umbrella of Christ. From husbands and wives to parents and children to servants and masters, Paul is saying every relationship is reshaped by Christ. And the key is submission out of reverence for Christ. It's not about control. It's about Christ-like love. It's about oneness instead of division. It's about a community where no matter what your role is, we live our lives with love and respect for one another. And so sometimes what you and I need to do, like, you know, we're going to sing a song, and in closing, this is only trust him. Like, I trust Jesus. I trust him. And so let's admit, like, it is easier for me to submit to Christ because I trust him. But there is some difficulty in that because sometimes he leads me in a direction I don't want to go. Like, what do you want to do, Jim? Well, I want to sit around and watch football today. What do I want to do on Monday? I want to sit around and do nothing. All right, so what do you want to do, Lord? Well, sometimes he's just like my wife. He wants me to do something different than that, you know? Or he's just like Rose. We put one of those little swings in the trees, you know, one of those little tight swings. And last time she was here, we introduced her to that swing. And we got out of the car, and she saw that swing in that tree, and she let us know then. She's like, you know, I want to do that. And, of course, we're grandparents, so we don't have any other agenda except, like, forget everything else. We're swinging. You know, we're going to go swing. Parents have all these other things they got to do. Well, so we just went and swang, you know, we just whatever, you know. I don't care about the ball game or whatever. We're going to swing right now. We're going to enjoy it. So we, you know, but we're submitting to what somebody else wants to do regardless of what we want to do. That's what submission to Christ is like. But what Paul is saying, that submission to Christ, we transfer it over into these other relationships. Out of reverence for Christ. And if we're doing that, yes, it does mean I'm going to make myself vulnerable. It means I'm relinquishing some control over my life. It means I'm really concerned about how this other person feels. And so I'm making myself vulnerable. But I don't think there's a better way to look like Jesus than to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. He submitted himself all the way to the cross so that you and I would be made new. And that's my calling to you. And maybe you and I need to rethink our mindset with one another and how we react to one another. And that's my prayer for you and my call to you this morning. Let me pray for you. Dear Lord, teach us to live with hearts that submit to one another in love. Lord, if there's pride in the way, replace it with humility. If there is selfishness in the way, Lord, just grow within us a spirit of sacrifice. Make our marriages stronger, our families healthier. Make all of our relationships be a reflection of Christ in us. May we love and respect and honor one another out of reverence for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. It is our prayer that it's been helpful in this part of your life journey. We invite you to join us at Cusada Sunday mornings for worship. Visit our website at cusadabaptist.org for directions and more information about our church.